Have you done everything you can do as an executive authority? Is there more you can do?
Look at all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border control. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work for us.
So that is the president at the border who says that there's nothing else that he can do at this point, which, yeah, he's done everything that he possibly can do. I don't know what he's done. I don't exactly know what he's done that he's so tired of. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you, recovering from the plague. So bear with me. Good to be with you, though. It is top of this first hour on Wednesday, and you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well, and you can watch the simulcast, the video component of the radio show on Channel 347 DirecTV. So I'm really, you know, just really trying to figure out exactly, like, what in the world this... I mean, I just don't understand what his whole thing is when he says that he's done everything. He hasn't done... I mean, well, you know, he's done everything to not uphold the law. So I guess that's, you know... I mean, I guess I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I guess he's done everything possible to not uphold the law. But when he says that, I mean, it's just he's trying to blame Congress for this, because, you know, we have that bill that is in Congress right now. The Senate kicked it over. The House has to take a look at it. I really don't. I mean, it's bad. It's not a good bill. But they want to make it seem like it's really ultimately all Republicans that are the ones dragging their feet on this. They want to make it seem like it's the Republicans that are responsible for the crisis at the border, which is so stupid, because we understand, you know, we understand all of this. We're able to follow all of this. I mean, this is what Corinne Jean-Pierre was saying the other day, that, well, you know, it's just, you know, that he's been trying to negotiate with Republicans on this border deal. And, you know, they just audio soundbite 13. Listen to this, because this is exactly what she's talking about here.
The first day of his administration, the president took this issue very seriously. He put forth a comprehensive piece of legislation to deal with what's happening with the immigration. You don't get to decide, but you don't get to decide what I say and what I don't say. Either you hear me out, or we can, you know, I'll see you on Wednesday. Totally up to you. Totally up to you.
I just want to know if he means
all right.
What he says.
Okay. He means what he says. Not going to go into to details here. Here's the reality. The immigration system is broken. It's been broken for decades, even in the last administration. The president introduced this piece of legislation 3 years ago. House Republicans got in the way. They refused to do anything about it.
I don't understand what that means. What do you mean House Republicans got in the way? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, because they didn't capitulate? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Because they didn't capitulate? So I'm not quite sure what she's talking about here, but that's simply just not true. So I don't honestly foresee anything happening on this before the. I mean, I don't. What are we going to sit here and do? Talk about the same damn stuff over and over again? I mean, there's been a problem at the border with Democrats and Republicans for God knows how long. It's still going to be a problem even going into the elections. Nobody's there. Too many of the war hawks in the Republican Party are salivating over a potential war they're on, so they don't care. They're looking at everything else but, you know, our southern border. It's a problem on both sides. But I'm going to tell you what, one of the things that I've been seeing, and I was talking to some friends about this, I don't think people realize the seriousness of what's happening in terms of the feds not providing any kind of support at all whatsoever to a lot of these border ranchers, etc. I can't give out any names, but I was talking to a friend of mine who was saying that particularly these ranches that are near the border and that go right up against the Rio and Mexico as well, that they have to deal with not just these, you know, the caravans that are coming across, you know, the super trafficked crossing points, but they're also having to deal with cartels loading up mules with drug cash and fentanyl and other, different kind of drugs, and sending it over the border in these less trafficked areas. And there are a lot of these ranchers down there in the Rio that are coming across these cartel members themselves personally. It's a lot like 1883, or maybe not, 1883, the Yellowstone, which one is it? Where you have Helen Mirren, and it's like the one where they're fighting the Irish cattle rustlers and all of this stuff. It's kind of like a standoff in which the feds aren't doing anything, and that's what's happening here. There's a lot of crazy stories coming out about the southern border that you're not hearing about because there's kind of a media blackout. There was one piece that I put in your prep. I did a Tuesday roundup since I was too sick to be on air yesterday. And the story, I mean, it's pretty telling. I mean, it gets into how there's this real life Yellowstone war happening right on the border. Because you have people that are going down to the border, but you also have these, you know, ranchers that live there, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to keep their family safe, their ranch workers safe, their livestock safe, when you've got all of these cartel members coming across the border. I mean, they literally, like one landowner was saying that they actually were packing mules with drugs and cash, and cartel members were taking them over the border. Now, here's what's kind of funny. One of the stories goes along something of the lines of, you know, the cartels are very sophisticated. They're very well funded. They've got helicopters. There was kind of this game of chicken that they were playing with this one very wealthy landowner right down there in the right. I mean, I think this one might have been in the Del Rio sector. I was trying to remember what part of the border it was, and I'm not giving any names out. But apparently one of the cartel, there were some cartel members that didn't make it back. And the cartel boss decided that he was going to flex and show up, not realizing that these landowners got a lot of resources too, and they can flex just as hard. And it was quite interesting. The feds can't do anything. The feds won't do anything. They can't do anything. This is how you get vigilantism. If you want vigilantism, this is how you get it. And I tell you one thing, you might have the cartel that's incredibly sophisticated, but you got some ranchers that will do what is necessary to protect what is theirs and to keep their people safe, their ranch workers, their families, etc. That's not a fight that anybody wants to pick, particularly these cartel members. They're in it for the drugs and money. These people are in it for a hell of a lot more than that. And this is what the federal government's setting up. This is what they're setting up right ahead of an election. I don't think that they realize how negatively this is impacting them in the polls. This is kind of a repeat in some instances of 2016. But that's exactly what, I mean, there's some insane stories. There's a protest convoy that's heading to the southern border. Key senators, they've been trying to. There's some senators that were trying to work something in that bill, but it just didn't happen. They're trying to pressure the House to accept it. The Hill was saying that, House Republicans are going to torpedo the GOP's best chance in years to pass a border bill. They just want a border bill passed so they can say that they've done it. That's what they want. They just want a border bill passed so they can say that one was passed. We're going to come back to this because we got a whole bunch, including more terrorists allowed to cross the border. And even Joe Manchin has called for a national emergency. I know a lot of people, this whole situation with Iran and I've been following this story as well. Man, what a dangerous time we live in, right? What an incredibly dangerous time. So Iran says that if there's any U.S. strikes, or anything that happens on Iranian land, and this is in response to the base attack that was in Jordan, they said that they would react decisively. Iran is spoiling for a fight, but they can't fight it themselves, which is why they always use the Houthi and they use all of these other groups to do their warring for them, because Iran can't afford to look like the sole aggressor. That's why they have all these militant groups. That's why they have Hamas. It's why they have Hezbollah. It's why they have the Houthi. It's why the Houthi have expanded so much in Yemen just in the past several years. They always use these proxy groups. And so they've never been able to pick a fight by themselves solely alone. And they wouldn't this time either. But this attack, whew. So the retaliatory strikes that a lot of people have been talking about, the U.S. has signaled that it's considering it. That's when you had at least 40 troops wounded. And then it was this base in northwestern Jordan. It's been a crucial location for our troops there. And so they had back and forth again with the Houthis. We've been going back and forth with these drone strikes, and we got a destroyer in the waterway. Apparently there was an anti-cruise missile that had been launched by the Houthis yesterday that was targeted. So But Iran says that if there is, they're warning the United States that they will respond to any kind of retaliatory strikes. Really. I mean, I think that all of the effort, and I'm trying to remember back, this was, I guess, in 08, 09, when Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett first began to telegraph their appeasement policy towards Iran, and how that was apparently supposed to be some sort of diplomacy. Appeasing Iran is kind of some sort of diplomacy, which is asinine. That didn't really work, did it? Didn't really work at all. Not at all. Because for all of the appeasement, giving them, you know, unfreezing their assets, which was part of sanctions, by the way, deciding to thaw that, everything that we have done, what has it bought us? Seriously, what has it bought us? The United States has been, I will say, with their hesitancy, I think, slowing this descent into a warlike stance. But we're the only country really acting right now to prevent World War III with us. I get it that there's a lot of Call of Duty LARPers that demand that everybody go in, guns blazing. But you know what that does? That only exposes us to a major conflict on two fronts, because you would absolutely almost, China, even though they're not ready, they would exploit that opportunity for a distracted United States, and they would act in the Pacific. And they would do it at a time when we're broke, when we're low on resources, when we're low on enlistment, will, and any solid objective. It would be disastrous. That's exactly what Haley wants to do. Haley wants to go into Iran, guns blazing. Her foreign policy, honestly, is like the number one thing, top reason why I oppose her. Because her foreign policy is from a different era. Her foreign policy comes from a time, it's constructed during a time when you have, constructed during a time when the United States was on better footing. When the United States had more resources, when the dollar was stronger, when we didn't have such a problem with enlistment. It was that her foreign policy is entrenched in a different period. We do not live in that reality right now. I'm not, you know, trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just being realistic. We got a whole bunch of stuff to catch up on, because we got some 2024 stuff. We're also going to get into the LNG. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, because this is one of the things I was looking at when I was sick as a dog, still recovering. So I appreciate your patience, because your girl's on the struggle bus. But we're gonna dive into that, because the repercussions of that move from the administration are so much more far-reaching than you ever could imagine. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to get into some of the culture stuff. The only thing more annoying than the Swift and NFL overload is people complaining about the Swift and NFL overload. We've got to discuss that.
Hi. I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings, and therefore we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature, rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Toyota has issued a massive do not drive advisory over an exploding function in certain models. This looks horrible. They say that it's the 2003-2004 Corolla Matrix, and they said that 50,000 vehicles are believed to be part of this notice. 30 deaths have occurred since 09. It's in relation to the vehicle's airbags, according to the BBC. They say if the airbag deploys, a part inside is most likely, oh goodness, to explode and shoot sharp metal fragments, which could cause serious death. They literally, or sorry, serious injury or death. That's like a mine, isn't it? They said that the recall of the Takata airbag inflators is the largest in motor industry safety history. Wow. So, like, you get into a wreck, you actually could have shrapnel flying out at you. That's kind of the opposite of what is supposed to happen with an airbag, right? The real estate downturn has come for America's premier office towers. Rents at highest-end buildings have fallen, and rate of leasing slows, according to the Wall Street Journal. And they said that this is, I think, still fallout from the pandemic, and also people realize they don't need as much brick and mortar as they thought. The U.S. sees a huge spike in syphilis cases. The CDC blames the lack of funding. Are you going to pay people to not be whores? I don't understand. What's the point? They said that syphilis cases are reaching record numbers. The CDC says the federal government is not throwing enough money at it, because if you throw enough money at syphilis, the syphilis goes away. Did you know that? Yeah, you can paper people's knees closed. That's a real thing. I mean, at this point, if you don't understand how it spread, you're too stupid to breed. So do us all a favor and keep the gene pool clean of your ignorance. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, deepfake bill is going to open the door for victims to sue creators. This is really weird ground. It's called the Disrupt Explicit Forced Images and Non-Consensual Edits Act. It was introduced yesterday by Josh Hawley, Lindsey Graham, and Dick Durbin. They said that it's going after the deepfake content, so that if people are using someone's likeness to create nasty stuff, that they are saying that the victim, the person whose likeness was used, could then sue for damages. I mean, I think you would be able to prove damages in some of those cases, it seems like. We have a whole bunch of stuff on the way, including the only thing more annoying than Swift plus NFL are people complaining about it. There's no PSYOP. Let's talk. I had my Black Rifle coffee already this morning to help clear my head. It's just the best coffee that you can get. Veteran-owned and operated company. They make the best coffee out there. Everything else sucks. Everything else is just bad. This is the way it is. Black Rifle Coffee is so good. The roasts are amazing. The taste is great. I like the Silencer Smooth. I think is perhaps like my favorite one. Here's the cool thing. Whatever coffee you like, you can join the coffee club at Black Rifle Coffee Company, and you can choose which roast you like. If you want the AK-47 espresso, if you want the Thin Blue Line medium roast, I mean, whatever it is that you want, they have tons of different roasts. Pick your delivery schedule, what you want, your delivery schedule, and you get coffee at a discount shipped for free right to your doorstep. So you're never, ever going to run out of your favorite brew again. And again, no shipping fees either. They also have mugs and grinders and kettles and all kinds of stuff, everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And they help and work with veterans. They employ a lot of active duty and retired veterans as well. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. And when you do, you're going to get 30% off of your first month using code Dana. So start saving money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Did your own tax dollars help pay for the massacre in Israel? As the federal government continues to give billions to fund most of the United Nations, turns out 10% of members on their active payroll helped perpetrate Hamas's attacks in Israel.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
What I will say, our deepest condolences go out, and our heartfelt condolences go out to the families who lost three brave folks who are military folks, who are brave, who are always fighting, who are fighting on behalf of this administration, of the American people.
Wait a minute, I'm confused. I thought they were fighting for country. I didn't realize they were like Joe Biden's own musketeer group there. That was Karine Jean-Pierre, and one of the stupidest. That made me sicker. I'm sick now. Give me a fill-in. She made me super sick now with that soundbite. I'm going to vomit I'm not like nauseous, but maybe my throat hurt hearing her talk. Ugh. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. I'm recovering from the plague. And also, I missed you guys, so I had to claw my way back in the studio. Juan's petrified because Kane was sick, and then I'm sick, and then Juan's well. He's this bastion of health and wellness.
What's the common denominator, though?
He's made 100% of protein.
Raise your hand if you went to shot. He went to shot, Janice, me too. Mm-hmm. Juan did not.
Can I just say real quick, I'm going to come back to this Karine Jean-Pierre soundbite. I'm reinstituting my no handshake policy. I'm doing that. Because, and if you're like, Dana, what do you sound like NPR today? Because it feels like I swallowed razors. I'm on roids. That's another reason why I'm really mean right now. I don't know if that's that kind of roids, but I'll claim it. Yeah, I'll claim it. Chris was like, that's not those type of steroids. And I'm like, shh, it is. We're going to use it. But what was I saying? Yeah, because I was just like, I shaking everybody's hand and not being a germaphobe. And now look what happened. Look what happened. I get sicker than I've been in years, like at least in 6-7 years. Because I decided I wasn't going to be a germaphobe. So that's gone. It's gone now. Your germaphobe's back. Although I'm not ever wearing a mask and I'll never going to lock down, but just saying. All right. Can I get back to the soundbite that just gave us all shaken baby syndrome? I was trying to read the transcript. Three military folks fighting on behalf of the administration. They don't fight on behalf of the administration. They're fighting for the country. Now, I want you to say, Kane, what you said on break on air.
Wait a minute. Can I? What did I say?
Well, she gets away with it because she checks all the identity boxes.
She doesn't have to be effective. She's the black lesbian.
You can say whatever you want. Yeah. And as long as you have like the shield of identity politics, then you can say whatever you want. Yo, all the people out there, you know it's true.
I mean, how out of touch can you be by calling them three folks in the military? Like, honestly, press secretary? Come on.
I mean, it's like basic stuff that, you know, she should know. I mean, it's just kind of amazing. I mean, these are just like basic things that, and you don't just say like military folks, and they're not fighting on behalf of the administration. I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean, these were, I mean, we have their names, and they weren't just military. I mean, these guys were, you had, who was it? You had, Nathan Ingram, Navy Special Warfare Operator, and then you had Navy Special Warfare Operator First Class Christopher Chambers. Those guys, they had a January 11th nighttime mission that they went on, and then you had these. I mean, it's just, and it's more than what we've seen too in Jordan. They haven't even mentioned any of the other soldiers that have been. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing with this is, I just feel like there is a lack of seriousness as it pertains to the consequences of their ops. Does that make sense? Like that, like everything that they engage in, there's just this lack of seriousness and piety. I don't know if that's the word I want to use, but her say, I mean, it's just embarrassing. At least she didn't say Nord Stream pipeline. You know, but no, our soldiers that we had Sergeant William Rivers, 46, Carrollton, Georgia. Specialist Kennedy Sanders, 24, Waycross, Georgia. Specialist Brianna Moffitt, 23, Savannah, Georgia. Those were the three that were in this drone attack. And then, of course, you had the other guys. They were down there looking for the ones that I had mentioned. I reposted about that. I talked about that on social. And these are people still dealing with the administration's, they were dealing with the administration's mess too. And these soldiers dealing with the administration's mess. Oh, you know, these military folks, they were fighting for the administration. That's all. Yes, you should say their names. They have names. Can we talk about this stupid Taylor Swift thing? Good grief. I don't watch football. Okay, NFL has the highest ratings right now. Weren't people real mad about the knee stuff? When is it okay now to like watch? I'm just curious. Like, I thought everybody was like not watching football. Now everybody's watching football again.
I guess people stopped taking the knee during the national anthem. I don't know.
I mean, if I had to pick between burning down and like black communities or, you know, taking a knee in peaceful protest, I think I'd, you know, choose the peaceful protest to have less of a problem with.
Yeah.
I don't mind peaceful protest. I just think there's a better time to do it. My whole issue with just to recap real quickly, because we got to talk about this. My whole issue with the way it was done was I took issue with the claim that the basis of their protest, because you had Colin Kaepernick who was protesting as a way to get more attention to himself because he sucks out loud. He plays like sucking is his job. What is your job? You're in the NFL. Yes, I suck. That's my job. It's my whole position. That's why. Huh?
I suck and I blow.
Yeah, well, he's horrible. But, you know, that's... He decided to get more attention for himself by doing the political thing. But his claim was that, oh, it's cops out there killing black Americans. I disputed the claim. I don't care if people have a, you know, peacefully protest. I thought it was ridiculous that he was protesting over an absolutely easily proven lie. Easily proven lie. Or disproven, I should say. So that was my whole thing. But anyway, everyone was like, oh, we're not going to watch NFL. Well, now they have like what? Their highest ratings ever? And now there's this thing I saw at The Guardian, and I've been seeing people talk about this online. They're like, oh my gosh, there's a conspiracy theory. Taylor Swift is a Pentagon asset. If a 33-year-old woman who is still in early 20s heartbreak land is an asset for the Pentagon, I think maybe our time has come. You know, the second fall of Rome. Maybe our bills come due. But are people on the right seriously promoting this? Or are they joking about it? Because if they're seriously promoting this, they are the stupidest people on God's green earth. I don't care who it is. I'm sure I know some of them. I don't care. I'm on steroids. I'm sick. I hate everything. I don't care. This is so dumb. I don't like Taylor Swift. I could not tell you her albums if our life and the survival of Earth depended on me naming a single song that she sings. I really don't think I could do it. I really don't think I could do it. We'd all die. We would all be dead right now. I can't tell anything about it. I don't know anything about football. I'm not even going to pretend for clicks like I do. I know nothing about it. I know that there are way too many positions, and some of the names seem very suspiciously made up for whatever advantage on a particular day, whatever. My husband has tried explaining this to me until he's just, his eyes glass over and he can't handle it anymore. I just don't get it. And that's okay. Everybody's got differences of opinions and likes. That's what makes this country great. But whether or not she's a Pentagon asset, I don't understand why. So they're trying to say that what she's that they're using Taylor Swift to get people to vote for Biden. Hey, newsflash, guys. She endorsed him in 2020.
Yep.
She made cookies that said Biden Harris 2020 and posted it on social media. Do these people that are pushing the Taylor Swift PSYOP, are they unaware of this? I mean, she's a lefty. She campaigned against Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee. Do people forget that? Like, she literally didn't she make a video against Marsha Blackburn? I mean, Blackburn won. I mean, it didn't do anything, but she's like well known to be on the left. So, I mean, are you surprised that she is? I mean, she's 33. People say that I've got friends who are conservatives and they take their kids to go see Taylor Swift. Oh my gosh, I don't care. I don't care. There's so many other things to bitch and moan about. I do not care. Who cares? If she's going to vote for Joe, I don't care who Taylor Swift votes for. And honestly, if there is a segment of the population that is more swayed by Taylor Swift than they are actual policy, we deserve to go down in a ball of flames. Honestly. I'm at the point where I'm very dory about this. But this whole idea that she's a PSYOP is just, it's dumb. This is so dumb. Where did this come from? She publicly endorsed the guy in 2020. She campaigned against Marsha Blackburn. She's pushed Democrats ever since she decided that she could be political without any kind of consequence. I don't think she's obnoxious about it. I just think she's wrong and dumb. But she's not obnoxious. Now, I don't think she's crass and I don't think she's vulgar. I'm not going to sit here and excoriate someone just because they differ from me on a political instance, even though I totally don't listen to her music. It's not my jam. I'm not going to sit here and excoriate someone just because they might vote horribly wrong and they're dumb about math. I'm not going to excoriate them for being dumb about math and not knowing anything about domestic policy, Kane. Not at all. You know, I was just saying. But you made a good point on break because you were saying that she just has a history of picking bad dudes.
She does. But she's made a career on it, so good for her. But yeah. She clearly chooses wrong men for her. And so her endorsing Biden makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. I get that. I mean, that's par for the course. But I don't think she's a PSYOP. And I think that talking, like acting like she is, just gives that more momentum. Sometimes I think people on the right and the left say crazy things because they feel like that helps them break through the oversaturation of hot takes. Because if there's one thing that we have too much in this country of, it's hot takes. Everybody's got a hot take. Do you exist if you have not given a hot take on an issue? I mean, your existence in the influential sphere is determined by whether or not you have a hot take. You know this is right. It's true. Here's the other thing with this. The left has always used celebrities and bread and circuses to get out the vote. This is not new to anybody who's ever followed politics. There are apparently some people on the right who think that politics began just the day that they got involved in it. The question is, why doesn't the RNC do this stuff? The right caved to temptation from the left a long time ago. The left was always about, let's make this entertainment. And the right decided to go along with it. They made politics a new form of entertainment eons ago because they suck at selling liberty. They have the product, but they never got great at selling it, not for the lack of trying. Oh, and you can sit here and say that there are some famous people on the right. Yeah, there are. You have people like John Voight, who has too much talent and too much of a record. He has blank you talent, right? He's got a blank you body of work. He can do whatever. Nick Searcy, he's got blank you talent. He's got a blank you body of work. He doesn't care. He can do whatever he wants because he's Nick Searcy. But there are some people that I see out there that I think their star has expired and they peaked already. And they hit the ceiling of their talent level. And I think that as a way to excuse that or try to claw back some more influence or notoriety, they make the claim that they were blacklisted because they're on the right. When it's just, no, you peaked. That's what it is. You are blacklisted because you're on the right. You just peaked, dude. That's all it is. I'm not going to like be ignorant, but you know what I mean. I mean, there is some of that. I can't stand that when I see it. I cannot stand it. It's like, no, I mean, there are some people who were legitimately blacklisted, and there are some people who are too big to be blacklisted, and there are some people who peaked, and they already hit the ceiling of their talent and potential, and they didn't get taken out by politics. They just got taken out by time and timing. That's it. But the left has always done this kind of stuff. This isn't a psyop. I mean, there's none of this. They've always done this. And instead of complaining about it, I mean, I don't know. What does the RNC, what does the right do to, I'll tell you what the right doesn't do. The right makes horrible Christian movies. They make horrible art in an adjacent economy. And they put the least effort into God Rock, which is supposed to be a form of worship and ministry that they spend the least amount of money on. How about that? Oh, these are all uncomfortable things to say. I'll tell you because I'm on steroids because I'm sick and I don't care. You know, it's true. These are all true things. Be good. That's it. No one owes you anything. Be good. Be worthy of it. And don't make conservatives look bad because your art's subpar. Keltec, if you haven't checked out the Sub 2K, you definitely should. And this is innovation. One of the newest things that Keltec has introduced. I love the Sub 2K. It's 9mm. This is the Gen 3. It's shipping now. So what it means, like previously, if you wanted to fold it in half, you know, you just attach your optics and all that. You don't have to do that. With the Sub 2K Gen 3. It's simple twist and fold. It is a patent pending rotating forend in either direction. So, and it folds the Gen 3 right in half. As quickly and easily deploys it, you fold it. Optics and all. So you don't have to take nothing off. That's awesome. And so they've been, this is really just the upgrades they've added to this have just really pushed it up to the top. They also have an upgraded aluminum trigger. They redesigned the mechanics on that for a light and 5 pound pull. That means, you know, more precise feedback. You get an isolated pull translating into improved accuracy, follow-up, all of that stuff. They have a chamber indicator. They have all kinds of stuff on this thing. And you also have for now, so this one ships in the Glock 19 configuration. That's another reason why I like it. And it also accepts mags from the Glock 17. And it's all made in America. Just super awesome design. Everything right here in the US of A. You've got to check out. It's the Sub 2K or Sub 2000. That's what it looks like on the website. Sub 2K Gen 3. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Over the weekend, President Biden said he's ready to take action if Congress is serious about solving the border issue.
If that bill were the law today, I'd shut down the border right now and fix it quickly. And Congress needs to get it done.
Starting another war.
Whoa. Whoa. So that's, what's her face?
Joyless Reed?
Yeah. I get all the joys messed up.
Yeah, because they're exactly opposite of what joy means.
Why is that? Give the name back. That's not right. Like, just, you know, welcome back to the program. So she, that went over a hot mic. You're supposed to assume that every mic is a hot mic. That went over a hot mic. She's like, oh, he's going to start another war. But, you know, she said it in a little bit of a different way. Well, I mean, you voted for it. What did you think was going to happen? I love these people that are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I voted for a guy who like promised to empower Iran and wanted to have a war on all of our affordable, plentiful energy, and also wanted to raise taxes and create massive inflation. And oh my gosh, he did all those things. I can't believe this. I can't believe I actually voted for this person that said they were going to do all of these things, and I have all these things and I'm unhappy. What did you think was going to happen? What do people, I'm just so confused on how they think cause and effect works. What did you think was going to happen when you voted for a guy who's like, oh, I'm going to raise your taxes. We're going to end the middle class tax. I mean, that's because that's exactly what it was. Of course, you know, you can blame the previous president for not making them permanent. When you do everything with an executive order, guess what? It gets undone with an EO. Congress should have moved, and that should have been shepherded through, and it should have been made permanent. But what did you think was going to happen when you voted for Biden? Good heavens. All right. So a lot still on the way. Cori Bush, Biden and Elmo. Oh, gosh. Biden and Elmo. Guess what cities declared a 90-day state of emergency over a fentanyl crisis after they decriminalized drugs? I wonder. I mean, seriously, everyone's like, wait, what city was it? Because so many of them have done that. So we've got that. We've got a whole bunch of stuff on the way, including a Montana family that lost custody of their kid because they wouldn't let her transition. The Republican governor defended it. We'll talk about that. Stay with us as we move our partners that help bring you free radio. Who do we have? Because I don't have. I'm on the struggle bus. Thank you. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation. And they want to make sure that they want to save you money during a time when everybody's broke. Let's just be honest about it, because everybody is broke. Nobody has any kind of discretionary money left over after they pay all Joe Biden's bills. So the fun thing with Patriot Mobile is you get free activation when you switch. Just use code Dana. They're going to get you set up. They have plans that are tailor-made for any type of family, any type of situation. I mean, my whole family is on a plan with us. They're able to work with you. They have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best service in your area without funding the far left. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. I mean, you can get something entirely new. The choice is yours. 100% based, U.S.-based customer service team. You're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
With so much of our lives spent on mobile devices and social media, it's important to look into the effects on teen mental health and well-being. I take this very seriously. Mental health is a complex issue, and the existing body of scientific work has not shown a causal link between using social media and young people having worse mental health outcomes.
I don't like when I have to be put in a position where it seems like I'm defending Mark Zuckerberg or any of the tech bros, but we got it. This is like all part of this multifaceted kind of like big government thing that I see sweeping the right. And it's very evident today during these hearings that we saw with Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour. You're under the weather, girl, still. I'm on the struggle bus. I'm going back up. I'm getting back up there. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast in your area. Or actually on channel 347, what am I talking about? DirecTV. So they've had these hearings. They had Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. I saw this headline, Kansas City, Josh Hawley gets Zuckerberg to apologize for youth sexually exploited online. I saw the, had this other headline where they were, it's this one. They said it was CNN. Mark Zuckerberg, in a contentious Senate hearing, apologizes to families harmed by social media, saying he's sorry for the things that they've suffered. Or, you know what? Parents could, I don't know, maybe stop allowing social media to babysit and raise their kids. I don't get this. I don't take any excuses over this. I really don't. Because I've raised kids and am raising kids in this era. I mean, this is, it doesn't matter. This is a parental responsibility. I'm just floored at this. You have to assume, just like you would in real life, that there's going to be sketchy people everywhere. And the internet is a cesspool of egoism and sketchiness and exploitation. And there is no amount of government regulation that is going to fix it, because it is a direct reflection of the people. It's a mirror image. Nobody wants to talk about it because then they have to indict themselves. You look on Pinterest and you covet. You go through Instagram and you covet. You are affected by what influencers are selling you because you covet. I mean, it plays into every bad thing. Yeah, it can be used for good. But when you have immature, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, I mean like literally because of emotional, cognitive, and physical development, when you have minors that get on social media and they are unprepared to deal with all of these things presenting on social media, it's a tricky thing. That's mom and dad's job to teach kids how to navigate the world. It's not Mark Zuckerberg's job to teach kids how to navigate the world. It's not Elon Musk's job to teach kids how to navigate the world. Where in the hell do people who call themselves Republicans get off on assuming that the same big tech companies that they want out of our lives have some responsibility in also raising our kids? That's what I don't get. Why does Mark Zuckerberg owe anybody an apology? I'm not a fan of the dude. I'm just asking as a limited government individual. And I completely reject, I think it's lazy to say that, oh, well, it's so prevalent, it's so hard, Dana, like hell it is. It is not hard at all. Again, I've raised one child in the social media environment. I've got another one I'm raising in the social media environment. But I'm not, you got to step up and be a parent. And sometimes, maybe in today's society, that looks like being a tyrant. There are parents that I know who are way more permissive than anything that we allow in our home. Like, for my kids were not allowed on social media. When they were finally allowed to get like an account on one platform, I monitor everything. Any device they have, that's my device. Until you assume full and total control of your financial well-being, I have the right to exert. You have no Fourth Amendment right in my house. You have no 10th Amendment right in my house. It is a momtatorship. I exert control. I will look through your devices. I will go through everything if I feel the need to do so. And I don't have to apologize for doing my job as a mom. And I also, we've also in our home have set clear guidelines as to what we expect and the type of behavior we expect and the type of behavior that we will not tolerate. I mean, you have to parent. It's not Facebook's job to raise your kids. It's not Instagram's job to raise your kids. It's not Twitter's job to raise your kids. It's some Tipper Gore stuff. This is Tipper Gore 2.0. This is Tipper Gore facing off against Twisted Sister in Congress, talking about how music companies owe some sort of responsibility to parents, and they've got to put all these explicit stickers on all of these albums. That's exactly what this is. This is some Tipper Gore BS. Sidebar. Excuse me. Why was it Karen and not Tipper? You know what I mean? Like, oh, she's such a Karen. Why didn't you go, man, she is such a Tipper?
It was so long ago.
I'm doing that now. No. We're making it happen. New rule. We're going to start just issuing rules on the Dana Show. Here's the new rule. We don't do the Karen anymore. It's Tipper. Don't be a Tipper. So refer back to this moment in time for clarity if it comes up again. But that's exactly what this is. It's not anybody else's. Like, why are they up there? Why are they up there? You know, apologizing, et cetera, et cetera. If you're worried about your kid being exposed to stuff on social media, well, I don't know. Maybe you don't have your kids on social media. It's a crazy thought. It's verboten to say, apparently. You're not supposed to say stuff like that. Because, see, you're supposed to have the contradictory belief that big tech has to be out of everybody's lives, and also it owes responsibility to raise your children. I don't know. Like, I don't dislike Josh Hawley. I mean, he's a senator from my home state, but I just don't know what kind of flex this is. Am I wrong in assuming this? Like, I don't, is this like some kind, I don't get the kind of flex that it's supposed to be. Maybe bring some of the moms and dads that are allowing their kids all this unsupervised time on social media before Congress. And then maybe have, you know, ask them the question of, okay, well, why is it acceptable to not supervise kids being on social media? Knowing all the dangers that are out there. Knowing all of this stuff. You got to set your kids up for success. What they do not learn in your home, they're going to learn outside of it. And I'm telling you, I've navigated this stuff before. I had one friend who was like, I cannot believe, this is like a couple of years ago, cannot believe you go through your teenage son's phone. Hell yes, I do. You are absolutely right, because it's my phone. And by my good will, his and mine and his dad's, he is allowed to use our property. He's allowed to use our property. He's allowed to download things on our property. He's allowed to use our property to and over the cell tower, through the cell towers, etc., that we pay for, to talk to his friends. Yeah, absolutely. You damn well believe I'm going to go through it at any point. I'm going to go through it at any point. It's my right. That's my property. My kids never, ever objected. And because it's my property, I also have the right to remotely lock and erase it if I feel at any point you are not honoring the agreement, the contract, the social contract that you entered by way of using our property in this momtatorship. It's a parentocracy. That's what kids need to learn first. This is a parentocracy in your house. And honestly, and I don't want to sound like I'm beating up my own side, but, you know, I tell you, a lot of this stuff, I'm starting to see the right kind of, you know, acquiesce and go along with it. This is not a flex to sit here and go after social media companies because they're not raising your kids. Isn't that the whole point of what we've been pushing for this whole damn time? Trying to get big tech companies out of our lives, but yet we want them to remain in and raise our kid. What? This is some tipper stuff. All right, a couple other things. Speaking of government and families, did you guys hear the story about what happened in Montana? This is wild. Check this out. So this was in Montana. Two parents, mom and dad, lost custody of their daughter, the Kolstad family. They got a call that their 14-year-old daughter told friends at school that she wanted to kill herself back in August of last year. Later that same evening, they had CPS. They went to the family home to look at the house, interview the daughter. They determined that she needed to transition to get better. So, you know, she has a body dysmorphia issue. The CPS's response, it's like, you know, if they go and they see someone who's anorexic and they intervene and then they encourage them to not eat more, right? That's the same thing, same energy. The parents, the stepmother and the biological dad, the Kolstads, said that the daughter had a tough upbringing. She had some undiagnosed mental health concerns. She had attention-seeking behavior. And she had a difficulty in being truthful. And they think that that caused this urge to transition, and it was overlooked by social services. And so they were not going to allow her to transition. They said no. So CPS literally took custody of her. They removed this 14-year-old from this home as a result of this. This is wild. The family they were talking to, Daily Mail, and they said that this has been heartbreaking. There's a family in Indiana that asked the Supreme Court to review their custody case, something similar. So the Kolstad family, they said that they were trying to help their daughter. They moved to a different school district. She was bullied at the old one. But CPS, Child and Family Services, they said that, you know, they warned the caseworker that the daughter had a history of making up some stories. You know, she did, you know, she is heaven forbid, you know, a teenage girl be attention seeking. Yes, it's common, people. It's common. And they said that the parents were not going to allow her to transition. So they felt that it was better to remove her literally from her family home. That's crazy. And so they were assigned a public defender. They said, play nice, go along with CPS's recommendations. They took the daughter, took her to Wyoming. And this is CPS. They took her to one of these facilities for transitioning in Wyoming. that allows minors to have, quote unquote, gender affirming care, like hormone blockers and surgical procedures. They gave her men's hygiene products, all this stuff, and they moved her to a Youth Dynamics group home in Montana. They allow her to wear a chest binder, wear men's clothes, attend only boys' activities and boys' groups. And the parents are told that they're essentially at the mercy of the state. They're at the mercy of CPS. They were given custody of this teenager for 6 months. Then they were going to try to place her in the care of her birth mother, who lives in Canada, who's never been a part of her life, but apparently affirms CPS's transition position more than her father and stepmother who've raised her whole life. This is what government is. This is absolutely insane. Now, what gets me, let me pull this up, because you got, who is it, Greg Gianforte, who's the governor there. And I was reading this because he was saying, well, look, this was the law of the state. You know, he's basically saying that his, he defended the state's decision to move this 14-year-old. And he said that, you know, this is the, you know, apparently this is, you know, it's the law of the land. And, you know, that's, you know, he said that he asked the lieutenant governor, Kristen Juris, to review the case. So it's like he almost kind of like slid it on over to the lieutenant governor and kind of hung it on her. It's a little weird. But he's like, well, this is the, you know, this is the way that that the case went. This is the law. They followed state policy. It's a tragic case. That sounds kind of like an excuse, right? Doesn't that sound like an excuse? Because that's what it sounds like to me. So they had the LG look at it, and that's, he was on Twitter saying that, he said that unfortunately our society, you know, finds, and it should only be as a last resort, et cetera, et cetera. He said he asked the lieutenant governor to review it and consult with CPS, et cetera, monitor the case. Okay, you're monitoring the case. Whoopity-doo-dah. In the meantime, this family lost a 14-year-old girl who has attention-seeking behavior traits, is not exactly truthful all the time, has probably some mental health issues, and you are indulging her dangerous to herself body dysmorphia issue, and you are also disrupting the family unit. And how is any kind of elected Republican going along with us?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kane sent me a scary image from Clown World in Slack, and I can't get it out of my head. Sorry. Who can I tell? I want an apology from Mark Zuckerberg. What's happening? Let's see here. Okay, so I already have this one. Cops surrounded a dude that was all wrapped up in body armor after he wielded crossbows, sword, and a hatchet. This is in Britain. In an attack on people, he was planning an attack on people he knew. He sounds healthy. Yeah, 30 years old. He was trying to force his way into someone's home. Police responded they were unarmed when they showed up. They tried to talk to him, and then he threatened them. They had more police who were unarmed show up. Like, what are you going to do, a war of attrition? You're just going to throw yourselves at him? And, like, you know, see, so you need guns, people, because you know what? Pop, pop, this stops right here. Then you don't have to worry about this guy no more. But yeah, he had a sword, hatchet, all kinds of stuff. It took a very long time for them to contain the situation because they don't arm their police. I can't even. A man dressed as a UPS driver invades a Minnesota home and kills three people inside. 42-year-old woman, or 20-year-old son, 39-year-old husband. He dressed like a delivery driver, invaded a home. 37-year-old Alonzo Mingo was charged with three counts of second-degree murder with intent. And this happened in Minneapolis. Always be super, super careful, folks. Always be super careful. But this is like the second type story that I've heard like this. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've always had a length of stay policy here, which was generally individual adults could stay for 14 days and families could stay for 37 days. We paused it for about 4 to 6 weeks during very, very cold times in November and December. Every hotel room we have in the city of Denver is full. We're at 5,000 people in shelter, and we have more coming every day. And so we have to reactivate the policy we've always had, which is you can come and stay for a length of time, but it can't be forever.
What I thought, like, bring me your poor, your tired, huddle masses, etc. Denver's crisis for illegal immigration has reached its breaking point. They said more than 40,000 illegal entrants have flooded into the sanctuary city in Denver, because it's a sanctuary city. They advertise themselves as being a sanctuary city. And now they said it's inundated with these illegal immigrants that have crossed over. The city's already at the brink in terms of resources. They say they already have 700,000 residents and they're trying to stretch their limited housing. Welcome back to the program. Top or bottom of this second hour with you, Dana Loesch here. They said the Mike Johnston's the mayor, is very, very progressive mayor in Denver, and said that they're going to have to use 10% of their annual budget dealing with the illegal immigration issue. They said they also have to have an additional $100 million to provide housing, schooling, and health care. Well, you said you were a sanctuary city, so, and they're all young men.
Refugees?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only young men. No women or children here. Just all young dudes. Interesting. Okay. Just you lads then, is it? As Ricky Gervais said. They did see some kids from Venezuela, a couple thousand children that had been brought over by adults illegally. And the streets of Denver are flooded with tents. They said one business said there were 200 tents on their street alone, that the door to even their business was blocked. They're not the only people saying that. There are a lot. They say that they would just discharge people and they're just out on the sidewalk. So they're trying to figure out where this money is going to come from. Well, this is what you wanted, though. You said you wanted to be a sanctuary city. They said they wanted to be a famous, progressive sanctuary city. They wanted to show everyone how loving they were and take all these people in. And that's what, you know, they're so much better than states, like than towns in Texas, because they want to take, it's what they advertised. Their politicians ran on these issues. Now they're freaking out. 40,000. 40,000. And the big influx has been from Texas, where a lot of these people have been transferred to these sanctuary cities. Now they said they were sanctuary, so there's one hospital, their big public hospital is apparently hemorrhaging money as people are flooding the city. The hospital has been pushed deep into the red because they had illegal immigrants receive, this is earlier this month, $136 million in treatment for which they could not pay. Denver Health CEO said 8,000 illegal immigrants came to Denver. They made around 20,000 visits to the health system. And they said overall, these patients don't have medical insurance, so Denver Health is eating the cost for most of these visits. I mean, you're, especially in life-saving situations, you can't be turned away from, you know, an urgent care, from an ER or something like that. You can't be turned away from lack of ability to pay. That was a big lie that was pushed around during the debate of Obamacare. So doctors are doing the work, but they're not getting paid for resources or for time. Did no one think about what is happening here? So they have the head of the hospital, head of Denver Health, is like, yeah, we're at a critical point. They said our costs are exceeding their revenues. They said that this is going to break Denver Health, is what they said. So their healthcare system is on the brink of collapse. They don't even have enough beds available. They've had to turn people away because they can't provide, they don't have the ability or resources to provide any kind of care. And now it's over, the article that I quoted was from January 18th. Now it's over 130 million. So the demands, this comes by way of, make sure I get this right. This is Denver Post. They say that the Denver Health is at a critical point. The influx, $130 million. Do you remember, go back to 2009, 2010, before Obamacare was passed. And do you remember how people like us who were for limited government, we wanted portable health insurance. I'm shocked that some people don't understand what that means. Yeah. Meaning it's not tied to your employer and you can take it with you wherever you go. Getting the employer out of the business of healthcare. I mean, your grown-ass adults should know what these things mean. We wanted portable health insurance. We wanted to be able to have plans competing against each other, purchase across state lines, et cetera, et cetera. And we were told that we were just going to be welfare queens who didn't want to pay our bills, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, but what's happening here? What's happening here? I mean, you have the health system that's just being destroyed here. So Denver is in trouble. And it's not just them. There are a lot of these so-called, we talked earlier about how Pritzker was begging Abbott to stop sending people. Well, I mean, you wanted to be a sanctuary city. This is what sanctuary cities do. They provide sanctuary. So you made a promise. You campaigned on it. Now the bill has come due. Health and Human Services Committee related to this, they voted to impeach, whether it's not going to happen because the Senate has to actually take it up. Mayorkas, Democrats are still trying to blame Republicans for the border disaster. That's their Hail Mary pass. They're trying to say that the stupid bill that's in the House, it's garbage, that if Republicans don't agree to every, because there's spending requests in there. Again, they try to attach Ukraine funding, all kinds of stuff on this thing. They're trying to say if Republicans don't go for it, it means that their overtures about the border are just that performance. And so Mayorkas, they decided the House Homeland Security Committee, this is not Health and Human Services, but House Homeland Security, voted to impeach him. They had a 13-hour hearing. It was 18-15, party line vote. They're going to have the full House vote take place. But, even if they do, again, you got to go through the Senate. He wrote a letter to the committee stating that the committee should be working with the Biden administration on immigration reform. He said that we need a legislative solution and only Congress can provide it. Yes and no. I think that you need to uphold the laws that you have, and I think you need to stop all illegal entry and everyone needs to be turned away. However, and this is something that Republicans have fallen apart on also, for those individuals who want to come to the United States, they want to bring their expertise, they are an asset, they would be a great asset to the United States, add to the tax base, be productive. And then, they raise families here and add to the tax base, be productive. Those are the people that you want to come to the United States. And it is made so much harder. I had a friend who is a multimillionaire, runs a company, and wasn't able, went to college in the United States, got her master's, wasn't able to come back until... actually, she had gotten married and then came back because the United States is the only country that allows for that kind of blood claim to just get fast tracked into the United States and get, basically immediate citizenship. No other country on earth does that because it's all merit based. You have to demonstrate, merit and qualification. You can't just say, well, I have a blood relative here or I'm getting married. Let me come. That's not how it works. It's how it works in the United States. But on their own merit alone, they couldn't come in and be an American. I mean, now they're American citizens, but they couldn't come in and be an American citizen until they got married. Those are the type of people that you actually do want to come in. And when you ask them about, well, what's the pathway? There really isn't a pathway. There is, and on average, it can go up to 13 years that you are in this legal purgatory. And there's... it's made very, very difficult for the people that you want to be here. It's made very difficult for them. Meanwhile, you can walk across the border and you can run up $130-something million medical bill in Denver, and that's completely fine. You're given free education, free health care, everything, courtesy of the American taxpayer. And then you're given an immigration date and an ID, and then that's it. You're de facto here in the United States. So when they say that there really isn't a way for people to do it, the valuable people that you want, the people who actually do honor the law and they just don't come over, that's not entirely inaccurate. To blame it all on Republicans is stupid because Democrats have exploited this so that they can control people of lesser means at the border, and that's been all by design. So Mayorkas isn't being entirely forthright and honest there. I mean, are you shocked that he's shocked? I mean, of course he is. Of course he's not going to be. But that's the big problem. And the RNC has no way of dealing with this. They have no way of handling this. They have no way of of talking about it. I mean, right now we're going into an election cycle, and this is a major issue, and they should be everywhere messaging about this. I've told you how the Republican Party's broke. Here we are, not even 9 months out, 280-something days before the election. Donors are dropping off. The main political action committee for Joe Biden and Democrats are raising money hand over fist. They're shoring up multi-$100 million ad buys. They haven't even started their onslaught yet. But they're buying up all of the ad slots going up into the election period to shove out Republicans so Republicans cannot purchase ad time later. So they've spent over $250 million already shutting out Republicans. The main PAC, the main political action committee for Trump, the second half of the year, they raised $53 million. $50 million went to his campaign funds $50 million of his campaign funds for that went to legal fees. Sorry. So he had raised 43, spent 50 on the legal fight. And you have it's more than that. You have a number of Republican parties in a number of states, including swing states, that are broke. There is, this is something we haven't seen before. This is super bad. This is what I'm warning about, but nobody wants to pay attention to it because we're talking about how Taylor Swift is a psyop. We have more to come as we roll towards. Yeah, I am. I'm pretty salty. And look, you have to also indulge me because I'm under the weather still, so I can be. But also, that's ridiculous how broke they are.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so a mysterious noise is apparently aggravating South Florida residents. I didn't know that. They said this is like South, it's in South Tampa. It started in 2021. People are complaining about it. They said it's like a throbbing bass sound and they can't yet identify it. They said that they've been looking, it was first noted in late 2022. Anytime they hear it, you know, obviously they all get on Facebook and they all talk about it, but they said that they're trying to figure out what. It's a strange sonic disturbance, and they were working with a guy at the fisheries habitat of ecology and acoustics and all this stuff, and they said that they're trying to figure out what they think it could be. Now, this is crazy. I can't say this the Latin name. Pogonius chromus, the black drum, a fish, a species that they think might be associated with it because it's a drum fish mating noise. That's what they are initially thinking right now. I've never heard anything like this at all. They said it's like similar to like kind of like the song of cicadas, etc. But they've done a lot of research into it. I have never heard of anything like that ever in my life. Florida, you weird, man. You weird. You got like noisy fish. That's weird. Have you ever heard anything like that before? Never. That's wild. All right. We have a villages story. Okay, how am I gonna write? I mean, you guys. Yeah. A patient lifts his gown while jiggling his genitals at the entrance to the Villages Hospital. Darren Malinsky, 51, was arrested after he lifted up his hospital gown and he rustled his own jimmies while standing there at the entrance of the UF Health, the Villages Hospital. Oh my gosh. And Steve's like, if I could just be a fly on the wall at the Villages Hospital. No, no, no. But it gets worse. Oh my gosh, guys, I'm not well enough to do this story. He repeatedly asked passerby to. Passersby?
Just passerbys, he's asking.
To check his beans. And asking opinions as to whether or not they were swollen. I'm not making this.
Is there reverse HIPAA violations? Is such a thing?
Well, I think that when you're out there publicly,
I'm just saying reverse it, but like, no, yeah. I don't like, want no, to I know don't, about your medical condition.
I don't want to know. You're forcing this on me. Is there like a legal protection I can... So he was arrested on a charge of indecent exposure. He was booked at Sumner County Detention's bond was set at $1,000. They don't say whether or not he bonded out or anything, but that's super gross. Let's see. A Florida man chucked a chocolate egg at a Circle K employee before hopping over the counter to attack him. Now, I know that there's like more to this story, but what kind of chocolate egg? What are we talking about? I mean, if it was it like, you know, like a British one, like where they use the good chocolate? I don't know. John Mayhus, 27, was arrested and charged with battery. It was at Tarpon Springs. The police responded. The clerk said that the guy was in line. He was about to call him up to check out. He refused to allow the clerk to check him out. He walked over to a different employee, threw a chocolate egg at the original store clerk. And then there was some pushing and punching. The guy was taken into custody. He posted a $1,000 bond. Like, why? Can't just check out and leave? Like, what is the matter with you? This woman, a Florida woman, tried to kill a guy over a postcard that he got 6 decades ago because she got jealous. I'm going to save this one for tomorrow because if your wife has ever had a dream in which you wronged her and then she wakes up and is mad at you, okay, this is going to go right into that toolbox. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Was all of the data collected by TikTok prior to Project Texas shared with the Chinese government pursuant to the national intelligence laws of that country?
Senator, we have not been asked for any data by the Chinese government and we have never provided it.
Yeah, but you would. That's the TikTok guy. Now, him, I don't believe. But again, don't allow your kids to get on TikTok. That's the ongoing, what is it, these tech hearings that they're having in the Senate. A lot of people are getting their B-roll campaign footage right now from this. But what are they actually doing about it, right? Welcome back to the program, top of this third hour. I don't know, maybe, I'm still under the weather. I've been going through the plague, but coming back out on the other side, thankfully. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Find us over on Substack, Chapter and Verse, and Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube discussion, Facebook, all kinds of good stuff. I'm just, I just feel like, and I've been saying this for forever, I get major Tipper Gore vibes, and I don't understand why we have good Republican senators who are getting mad at tech companies for not doing the job that parents are supposed to do. I mean, you can't sit here and talk about parental agency when it comes to trans issues, and then no parental agency when it comes to social media. I had some people who got, some stooge got real mad and was like, oh, that's such a, like a white answer. I'm like, wait a minute, only like white people monitor their kids? Like, what are you talking about, you absolute like cousin loving racist? What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Progressivism. And someone's like, well, you know, it's designed to be addictive. Everything can be addictive. What does it have to do with you being a parent? You give your kid a cell phone and you don't monitor them with it? The hell does that have to do with it? What, that's your job as a parent. Stop finding all these other excuses to grab onto, like weak reads. That's the thing. I'm really confused about this. I'm confused about all of this. I worry sometimes about the right because I see, like, you know, I see good Republican senators get into the performance theater of this stuff. Yes, it's a serious issue, which is why parents need to be involved. It's not Mark Zuckerberg's. I don't even like Mark. Gosh, why do I have to be in this position to be like, it's not Mark Zuckerberg's. This should be universally known. Raise your own damn kids. Quit expecting a form of welfare from tech nannyism. That's exactly what this is. You're demanding tech welfare. Raise your damn kids or don't have them. The end. This is not difficult. It's not an entitlement thing. It's just a being involved thing. In the meantime, we have all these issues at the border. We got the issue with Iran. Excuse me. Tomorrow we're going to talk to one of the guys that works with Texas Oil and Gas. Because, as you know, the administration decided they were going to pause this any new exports of liquid natural gas, liquefied natural gas. And there's a couple of things I'm looking at. Because we have this stuff with Iran, and we have this stuff now with LNG, which really kind of can go under the same umbrella. I mean, all the major LNG terminals in Texas, the largest LNG terminals in the country, the country's number one producer, exporter of LNG, top supplier to our European allies, all of which were persuaded to cut, to disassociate from their reliance on Russian gas, right? All of them. They were told, you don't need to worry about it. We're going to provide you with LNG. You can purchase it from us. And so they did. They absolutely did. And now it looks like the United States can't keep its promises because, excuse me, we have this, now we have this interruption in export because Biden's mad at Texas over the border. And that's what all of this is. So all of the European allies that we had that were persuaded to cut their reliance and their purchasing of dirty Russian gas, which jeopardized NATO. I don't know how you can have NATO as a response to Russia and then have everybody relying upon Russian gas. Now we're destabilizing this fragile independence that they had developed after breaking away from the Russian energy, and we've helped create now this destabilization. The allies that we just swayed from Russia's energy influence are now learning that they cannot rely on the U.S., because that's exactly what Biden is projecting here. And that goes right in line with all of this, because this is, it's the same thinking. You know, the United States is called to be the world police. The United States is called to be there when countries can't extricate themselves with deals with Russia, etc. And now we have this escalation of tension in Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. Do people now see the importance of making NATO countries pay for their own self-defense as per the minimum requirement of 3% of their GDP? The United States does not have the ability, the resource to protect our waters, our maritime interests, and then protect all the German tankers and all the Swiss tankers and all of the Dutch tankers and everybody else's tankers. That is welfare to these countries. That is not our responsibility. Where's everyone else protecting their interests? Why is it? Where are the Saudis at? Where's the Arab League? This is literally their backyard. Now Biden-Harris would have us be nothing but reduced to some sort of tool of attack. I don't know. Again, in this forever proxy war with Iran. I mean, never forget that Chuck Schumer, I remember back in 2003, he was pitching the idea of another draft. And this time it just won't be the sons. It'll be your daughters drafted too. All of this is all related. It's a lot on deck for 2024. But this issue with the energy, this is one of the easiest things, one of the most, because we have so much of it. It's a replenishing, clean, our extraction methods are the cleanest in the world. And yet, here we are for absolutely no good justification at all, suspending new exports of this. And it's just destabilizing the area further. And now we have this ongoing in Red Sea, and you have people, what was this? I sent this out on the rundown as well, because you have people like Nikki Haley who would love, she has a very Lindsey Graham-esque approach to foreign policy. And of course, and I'm trying to pull up my link here, but I'm having a major difficulty in getting this up. But she's one of those who thinks that it is to strike at Iranian leaders is the way to go. Well, Iran has said any kind of direct strike in our geographical area, that's going to be considered another escalation, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like the United States is like the last, it seems like the only entity that's trying to slow this speed into an escalation and conflict. This is why it's the exact wrong time for somebody like a Lindsey Graham Jr., a.k.a. Nikki Haley, to be in any position of influence where it comes foreign policy or any kind of declaration of war. But all of this is related. How are you pushing back against, like, for instance, when you look at the situation with Ukraine and Russia, because Haley was on the probably the only time she's ever going to be on the program. and we disagreed over Ukraine. And they keep saying, oh my gosh, Russia is so powerful. They're going to try to fight with NATO, except they can't even fight Ukraine. And it's been long and drawn out conflict. And it's been a war of attrition on their part. And they've had to call up all the men in their country. It doesn't make sense. But how is it? And Democrats have been parroting some of the same stuff. Well, then why would you strengthen them? Why would you strengthen Russia, strengthen their petrodollar, strengthen everything by encouraging more reliance from European nations on Russian energy, including LNG? I don't know. I'd like to have a hearing on that. I'd like the Republican senators to have a hearing on that instead of going back and forth on and whose responsibility it is and why for Mark Zuckerberg. And is he going to apologize to people who for their kids getting on social media networks? And I mean, monitor your kids. It's verboten to say. But no, we're going to have hearings on that. Or talk about the Taylor Swift psyop. We'll talk about that too. All right. So this situation, I'm going to get into some law and order. I don't know if you've seen this. I teased this. The Deep Blue City that has declared a 90-day state of emergency over fentanyl. Oof. This is bad. Oregon governor and the Multnomah County chair and the Portland's mayor, Ted Wheeler, they have agreed to a 90-day state of emergency so that they can address the public health and safety crisis that they say is being driven by fentanyl in Portland's central city. It's bad. They said that they've never seen, and remember, didn't they decriminalize this? When did they decriminalize? Because they decriminalized drugs some time ago, and hasn't worked out incredibly well, obviously. So they said that they are working with Portland's Police Bureau, the Oregon State Police. They're doing patrols down street for fentanyl sales. They're trying to do all kinds of stuff to combat the opioid addiction that's now gone crazy because they decriminalized drug usage. They were the first state in the country to do so. They decriminalized the possession of all drugs, including heroin and cocaine. And this was back in 2020. So offenders, you got to pay. So if you got caught with meth, if you got caught with cocaine, heroin, you could pay a $100 fine and that's it. And then you're out and just walk. And they said it was a revolutionary move. And they said that decriminalizing these hard drugs, it is going to help drug users gain access to treatment. And they rejected all the arguments that say, no, it's actually going to do the opposite. It's going to increase drug use dramatically. No, it's not, said backers of the measure. And they said that this is going to help. We're going to see a reduced effect in terms of usage and drug-related crimes. And they said it's just mean to lock people up for a criminal drug record. So they had new possession limits. I mean, it's crazy. They reduced felonies, tons of them, down to simple misdemeanors for, like, even possession with intent to distribute. Everything reduced down to nothing. And now look at it. Now look at where they are. Now they're having such a huge problem. They've had to declare a 90-day emergency. 90-day emergency. Because it's so bad. Didn't work out very well, did it? It never does. It never does. Everywhere that this has been tried, it has never worked out the way that they say that it's going to. They've never had a reduced usage. They have never had reduced crime. None of it. So is anybody shocked? They had command centers that they're having to set up to, quote, refocus existing resources on targeting the problem. So they went from, we're just going to let everybody do whatever drugs. Now they're doing like block by block patrols now. It didn't work. Not surprising. Now, in addition to this, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen, we're going to get into it. We got some more stuff coming up, but there was a video that was released. It showed a large mob of illegal aliens who brutally attacked two NYPD officers Saturday near Times Square. Everybody's been released without bail. You know, nothing matters anymore. It's a lawless country.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a man accidentally handed police during a random breath test a bag of cocaine. Makes sense. He's been stung with drug charges after he accidentally handed police a bag of what they believe was cocaine during a random breathalyzer test. The driver of a white Mazda utility was stopped by highway patrol for a random breath test. He was asked to produce his license, and then he accidentally handed over a resealable bag of white powder with it. And he kept saying, oh no, I forgot that it was there. I haven't used it. And he tried to say, oh, it's old cocaine. It's not really new cocaine. It's old cocaine. I just forgot it was there. You can't get it. I haven't done it in like a year. It was in your pants pocket. Was it there for a year? Doesn't make any sense. A guy was arrested for stealing a truck with $30,000 worth of ice cream in it. That's Pelosi's ice cream. It has to be. I don't know how you can have $30,000 worth of ice cream. I mean, now, excuse me, when I first saw this, I was like, well, are they talking about the price of the truck or something? I don't know, but no. They said that the suspect, 35-year-old Travis Jones, around 9 p.m. in West Haven, Connecticut, stole an ice cream truck, took it out of the parking lot. $30,000 worth of ice cream was inside the truck. They coordinated police along with Connecticut State Police, and they were able to get it. They took the guy into custody without incident. What do you think they do with the ice cream? I mean, it's evidence, right? I mean, for real, like, they can't, it's $30,000 worth of ice cream. They can't just, like, get rid of ice cream, can they? I don't know why I'm so fascinated about it. Yeah. A guy shoots himself in the neck while trying to steal a car. Because Joshua Garvin's 26 years old, is a genius. He was trying to steal a car from a car dealership in Tennessee last Friday. He was charged with aggravated robbery following the incident at a Champion Auto Sales in Memphis. An employee was trying to sell a vehicle to Garvin's, took him on a test drive, and the employee told police that he felt uneasy because Garvin was acting really peculiar, he said. And he says as the employee got out of the car, Garvin's demanded the keys. When the employee wouldn't hand them over, Garvin's then threatened to kill him, and then they wrestled over a gun because he had a gun, and that's when he shot himself in the neck like a moron. And there you go. And there was a racehorse that tested positive for meth. Did he give racehorses meth? Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since before I was sworn into office, I have endured relentless threats to my physical safety and life. As a rank and file member of Congress, I am not entitled to personal protection by the House and instead have used campaign funds as permissible to retain security services. I have not used any federal tax dollars for personal security services. Any reporting that I have used funds for personal security is simply false. Yeah. In recent months, right-wing organizations have lodged baseless complaints against me, peddling notions that I have misused campaign funds to pay for personal security services. That simply is not true.
Yeah, but that's not true that she said it's not true. Welcome back. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash here. Here's the issue. It's no, no one is saying that you cannot hire or pay for security, which I do find incredibly ironic considering she has literally repeatedly pushed to defund the police. She spent $756,000 on private security since she was elected in 2020. This was a watchdog group. It's a nonpartisan group. It's the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, aka FACT. They were the ones that asked the Federal Election Commission to investigate all of this stuff because it was discovered that she was paying over $60,000 to a guy she hired who's now her husband. It was her boyfriend. She made him part of her security team. He wasn't licensed at all whatsoever, either in Missouri or in Washington, D.C., as any kind of security official. He had no security experience at all whatsoever. Didn't even have a gun. She put him on campaign payroll. And then he stayed on payroll after they got married. And so the nonpartisan watchdog group had asked the FEC, okay, can you look at these? Because this isn't the first time that she's been accused of misusing campaign funds. They said that this is considered an impermissible gift. Now, like I said, you can hire people, but what you can't do is hire someone and pay them more than they would make in that job normally. Excuse me. You can't hire a friend or a family member for a particular position and then pay them more than that position is typically paid in the first place because of the nature of their relationship to you. And that's what this is about. Because to pay that much for security, and the guy doesn't even have a license. And that is in DC, and especially with members of Congress, that is something that you have to have a license to perform certain functions in this capacity for a congressional member. But I mean, and she also paid six figures to the St. Louis based security firm. And they say that it's above the nonpartisan watchdog says that the payments that she made to her boyfriend, I guess now husband, are above the amount that you would normally pay because of her relationship with this guy. I mean, she's paid him six figures since she's added him to her campaign's payroll in January of 2022. And they marked when she was noting, or when her people were noting what the expenditures were for, they were saying that these are payments for security. But then at some point, like this spring, they changed what they were noting those expenses were, and they were just saying wage expenses. So she's not being forthright about this. And I don't understand why she thinks that, what did she say? Right-wing groups, is that what she said?
Yeah.
Right-wing organizations. She thinks that right-wing organizations have the power to force the Biden DOJ to investigate her. She thinks that right-wing groups, the ones that are typically under scrutiny from Biden's DOJ, she thinks that they have the standing and the influence to force anybody, any entity in this administration to do anything. That is such a stretch. I mean, for them to start the process of an official investigation, and especially if it involves a Democrat, there has to be serious evidence of wrongdoing, which apparently they think that there is. And this is, like I said, not the first time that she has been accused of this, or really any other member of the squad. Now, speaking of the Democrats and two standards of justice, interesting piece that Hunter Biden's attorney, they're still pushing to get those gun charges dismissed. Associated Press says that his lawyers, Abby Lowell, are pressing for dismissal of gun charges. They're saying that they're politically motivated. So again on yesterday, Hunter Biden asked the judge to dismiss the federal gun case against him. They said it was politically motivated, and that's all there is to it. Now, remember when a couple of weeks ago, they found that there was literally cocaine residue. Wasn't it on the holster? Was it even holstered? Was it in like a little pouch or something?
Yeah, as a pouch. What they described as a pouch.
I don't even think it was properly holstered, but they found cocaine all over it. I mean, okay. It sounds like that's Hunter's. Gosh, tell me he didn't snort off it. But that was the gun that was discarded in a trash can across from a school by his sister-in-law, girlfriend, former sister-in-law, whatever. And Abby Lowell was saying, oh, no. It's, this is just all politically motivated. They said that, that they have, prosecutors were going to strike a plea deal in this case, but they're bowing to political pressure. You either believe in the laws you advocate for or you don't. I'm not going to get caught up in the whole back and forth of, well, should, drug possession be something to use as a forfeiture of right? I feel like that. Don't allow that completely separate discussion distract you from the main issue here. And the main issue here is that Hunter Biden, whose dad is famously anti-gun Joe Biden, a guy who has said he wants to ban all semi-automatic firearms, a guy who has blamed law-abiding gun owners for all of the crime that has been committed through his restorative justice domestic policy, a guy who has said, You should have to get a background check just to get ammo. A guy who wants to have a national registry. A guy who would throw you in jail for the same offense that his son has committed. Now Hunter Biden expects to be given a wrist slap because he's Hunter Biden, because he's the president's son. And he thinks that he is above you when facing a court of law, which in the very spirit of that is unconstitutionally anti-American. So that's why this matters, because they are expected to live by the laws that they want to enforce and exert over everyone else, but they themselves don't want to have to meet that standard of law in their own behavior. And that's the main problem. I don't think that if the same people cannot follow the law that they want to exert over you, then why should you be compelled to follow it? Why should any of us? I mean, there's law. A law's strength is the consistency of application. The strength of law is also determined by the consistency of penalty when someone finds themselves in the wrong way regarding the law. And as we've seen with Hunter Biden, this guy has been entirely protected. Anybody else would have already been in jail. Anybody else would have already been declared a prohibited possessor. Anybody else would have already had the book thrown at him. But he's special. He gets all this other additional treatment. I mean, he told on himself with his book. And then he finally admitted that it was his. And now they found cocaine all over it. I mean, but they have been going around and trying to suspend the licenses of FFLs, federal firearms licenses, the dealers, if they have, one grammatical error on a form. I mean, that's a true thing. I mean, there are some stories out there that I'm hearing from people where this has been happening. But you lie on your form, which is a felony, and it's provable that you lied, and nothing. I mean, how long has this been going on now? Several years. Several years this has been going on. Now, people are not going to be compelled to follow the law if the president's son gets a pass. And he's going to try to muddy it in the water of this libertarian argument that you can't invalidate or forfeit your natural rights. But that has nothing to do with this. This has to do with the hypocrisy and inconsistency of the laws that they promote and then what they actually will be willing to live up to themselves. That's the whole issue here. It's you have to Saul Alinsky them through this. It's a reversal of their own tactics. They either believe in these laws or they don't. If they believe in these laws, then they're going to throw the book at Hunter Biden. I mean, they threw the gun in a trash can literally across the street from a school. I don't know if that violates the federal law, the 30-year something in standing federal law about firearms on school premises. But they threw it in a trash can across the street from a school. There's cocaine on it, for the love. I mean, this is, he's admitted to all of it. Anybody else would have had the book thrown at them, but he's special. So don't let them drag you into this whole libertarian argument with us. Now, this just came out from CNBC. A judge has dismissed Disney's lawsuit against Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. They were saying that everything that he was doing was retaliation. The judge disagreed and dismissed the case. Amen. So DeSantis wins. He wins this. Now, remember, the whole thing with Disney, they enjoyed a tax exempt, as it goes beyond that, I would say tax regulation, oversight, restriction exempt status that allowed them actually to skirt their civic responsibility. And that was set up by Democrats and Republicans years ago. And it was an anti-capitalist, very cronyous situation that Disney enjoyed. And then when Disney decided to go after the people who essentially facilitated that and go after kids and decided to get all high and mighty, I mean, there's nothing wrong with revoking the unfair anti-capitalist cronyist deal that they had enjoyed under previous lawmakers. And when that was removed, they kept trying to say that it was the retaliation that was bad. It was the bad that they had it in the first place. So they had this case dismissed. So their accusations have just been ruined. They've lost every single fight they've tried to have over this. They've lost. That's what happens when you actually fight a culture war and you win it. Because it, now they have to, they, I mean, they, it, 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 their whole narrative has just been blown up. So that's another victory that they're having. We have more on the way. We got Today in Stupidity coming up. We're also, we got to get into a couple of other things. because there's a lot that's been happening in the past couple of days. And make sure that you go and check us out on YouTube and Facebook as well. We put up a lot of good stuff up there, and I have some more stuff that's coming out on the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Idris.
Just to follow up, you said Iran was behind the attack. What does that mean? Have you seen evidence of financing or directing anything specific to this attack? Not just generally, but specifically.
So maybe I need to clarify further from what Lita had mentioned. We know that Iran funds these groups, like Kitab Hezbollah. We know that these IRGC-backed militias are the ones responsible for attacks on our troops in Iraq and Syria. Beyond that, we're doing an intelligence assessment. We don't have, I can't give you today that
this attack, linking it to Iran.
We just know that Iran funds these groups like Kitab Hezbollah and other groups that have attacked our forces, but I don't have more to share on
that. You're saying, right?
As a general matter, yes.
So they are saying that there's no evidence that they were behind it, but then they're responsible anyway. Now, this is after, well, this is before, actually. So this came out just about a half hour ago. The White House is formally assigned blame for the drone strike in Jordan that killed those three American service members. They said the first formal attribution for it, they said it was the Islamic resistance in Iraq, which is still an Iranian backed entity. They said that there's Kataib Hezbollah. That's what Kirby also had said, that it's an umbrella group called the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, and it contains these other multiple groups. They're saying Iran did it without saying that they did it, because if they immediately accuse Iran of doing it, then that puts us on different footing. They're trying to avoid, look, I get it, they're trying to avoid war, but you know what, they could have avoided war by not appeasing Iran all of these years leading up to this. You know that? By not empowering them, by not unfreezing sanctions. Well, I think that with the language they are, Kane, you disagree. You say they're not trying to avoid war.
Yeah, I don't feel like they're trying to avoid war at all. I think that every quote-unquote...
Optically, they are, I believe.
Maybe they're trying to give that optic, but I think that every step that they've taken up to this point, whether you look at Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, Hamas, and all that, and now this, I don't see... I think it's intentional. War Inc. has.
They want to make it look like we have no other option but
yes,
armed conflict.
Exactly. And so armed conflict makes the military industrial complex.
Which is why if they go, it looks like it's this group, they're still giving themselves some plausible deniability, is my point. They're still doing, it's this group. So it's not necessary, but it's still positioning.
I think it's all designed to lengthen the time frame. It's all designed to lengthen the time frame.
Oh, yeah. So I bet they feel really good about unfreezing all of that money, don't you think so? Where do they get all this cash at?
They can't use it for bad stuff, Dana.
Well, yeah, because they were told that. So you know that that's what the mullahs are doing. They're going, oh, you know what? We can't use this to give money to Hamas.
We know their money's not fungible, so it's all good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we know. Fungibility is not it's just verboten. You can't talk about it. It's not a thing you can discuss. All right, today in stupidity, Kate.
Well, it is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And like you said on break,
this audio soundbite is wild.
She shouldn't be drinking. She should just be making the drinks, not drinking them.
Yeah.
All right, cut 20. Listen to what she says.
And so when we come here, we talk about schools. But if you close your eyes and put yourself in a classroom of someone else's district, you'll see that the challenges are different here.
What?
So this is not about what we're teaching
about
European versus non-European descent.
What?
This is about the fact that the Bronx has one of the highest childhood asthma rates in the country.
Okay, asthma?
And so, climate curriculum.
Oh, no.
And when we talk about the importance of having clean air and clean water, it has
a climate
have
curriculum.
Asthma because of climate.
This is giving me asthma. She gives me asthma. Folks, that does it for us today. Still on the recovery bus from the plague. Back with you tomorrow.